This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least one person is dead, six others injured, police say, and a suspect is in custody following that active shooter incident at Florida State University earlier. Shots ringing out, FSU issued an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place just after noon. ABC's Victor Oquendo says the FBI is also on scene and they were taking time to sweep the area.
That is a massive, it is a sprawling campus. If this did happen at the student union, in the middle of the day on a Thursday, I can't imagine how many students, many teachers, how many people would have been around that student union right now. Last check, Florida State University is still telling their students to continue to shelter in place.
Students who evacuated reacting to the shooting.
It's definitely shocking to me right now. Generally, Florida State University is a very safe campus. I know they have...
Officials expected to update and how to hold a briefing this hour. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Republican lawmakers want the state to pitch in some additional funding to cover the cost of public safety for next week's NFL draft in Green Bay. Howard Representative David Steffen is asking for $1.25 million from the state. That money would be split among Brown County, the city of Green Bay, and the village of Ashwaubenon. Steffen says the money would cover two-thirds of the expected cost to keep people safe during the event. The draft takes place April 24th through 26th. A GoFundMe account has been set up for the children of two Taylor County homicide victims. Becky and Joshua Mann were killed in their home near Gilman last Wednesday, leaving behind four children aged 16 to 25 who now face a future without their guiding presence, according to family members who set up the fundraiser. Their initial goal was $30,000, but as of Monday evening, they had more than $63,000 already in the bank. Investigators say they were killed by a 15-year-old boy who fled from the scene and turned the gun on himself sometime later. No motive for the shootings has been given. The Steel Bridge team at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville earned the title of first place overall at the 2025 Western Great Lakes Student Steel Bridge Regional Competition held this month in Milwaukee, a first for UW-Platteville. UW-Platteville's performance included first place in structural efficiency, first place in stiffness, second place in construction economy, third place in construction speed, and third place in cost estimates. As a result of their achievements, they now advance to the Student Steel Bridge Competition National Finals, set to take place at the end of next month at Iowa State University with around 40 to 45 schools participating. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers dismissed Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 victory over the Detroit Tigers. Home runs by Rhys Hoskins and Christian Yelich. Pitcher Jose Quintana on getting his second win of the season.
Feels great. You know, every single day means a lot, you know, and about your preparation, how you want to be ready for games.
The crew has the day off before opening a three-game series at home against the A's tomorrow night. NBA, the Bucks holding a final practice session before heading to Indianapolis tomorrow for Saturday's playoff game at noon. Center Brooke Lopez on facing the Pacers again in the postseason.
We know who they are, what they're capable of, what their identity is. We've been working these last few days on being ultra vigilant about transition, you know, transition, the way they move the ball around the floor in the half court, how unselfish they are, just being ready to go from the jump defensively.
That's Buck center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, high around 70. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Right now it's 58.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwalbe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Author and columnist Doug Moe joins us. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, about the University of Wisconsin biochemist. Don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Civic Media is excited to announce a new programming lineup starting Wednesday, April 23rd. The new afternoon News Talk lineup will include the Todd Albaugh Show from 2 to 4 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 p.m., and Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe from 6 to 8. For all the details of our programming lineup changes, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/press, to learn more. We now take you to an encore best of the Dom Salvia Show. Enjoy.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Harvey Kay, our favorite Delano Democrat, professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a frequent guest on this program. Harvey, welcome. Happy St. Patty's Day, man.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Thank you. Any green beer in your future, or is you already imbibed over the weekend?
I don't mean to be a downer, but, you know, I've been married to the same woman for 52 years, coming up in May.
And wow.
She's British. So as a consequence, St. Patty's Day has not been.
It's not been celebrated, huh?
Not been thing. Celebrated. No.
All right. Well, I'll have an extra one for you tonight, Harvey.
Just... Please do.
Harvey, love it when you come around, man. A lot of folks are already chiming in and want to hear your opinion. Lots of things to get to today, but I think we got to start really with the quote unquote potential of a constitutional crisis here, Harvey. Professor Emeritus of Democracy, how important are the courts and their orders in a democracy, and the fact that they have to be followed, I think, in order for the rule of law to rule? How important are the courts, Harvey?
Look, it's fundamental, and not just in a democracy. I mean, we can argue about whether or not the framers of the Constitution got it right or not, but it has worked for many generations, that idea of checks and balances. And when I say checks and balances, good politics can prevail, okay? Good laws can prevail. But it is the case that we currently have, I mean, this is being nice about it, we currently have a rogue administration that, when it came into office, decided it was going to pursue change by way of executive orders, fundamentally just executive orders. First. And second of all, they brought in a corporate billionaire. Well, soon to be trillionaire, I expect.
The richest man in the world.
Right. to make decisions about government. Now, that's utterly ridiculous. Okay. But here's the thing. They don't seem to care less about the courts. Yeah, for a while they were sort of edging a bit. And they would even reverse something and he would shift gears. But right now, with the deportation question, it really does seem to me that they're prepared to go and they're prepared to ignore the courts. OK, and if you get an executive who's going to ignore the courts, that's clearly a constitutional crisis. I mean, I can't imagine what else would be a constitutional crisis. And what we've seen as well is that Congress has yet to assert its, if you like, its power and authority to address this constitutional crisis. I mean, we're there. I mean, I know there lawyers might argue, well, we're not quite there. We're there. Okay. Especially when you consider the degree to which people's lives are being affected. I mean, we'll get to that later, I assume. It really is, yes, a constitutional crisis. I mean, you know, here's something else. And I was thinking about this today. On the one hand, Donald Trump is essentially, I mean, he's smart on certain kinds of things, but he's not terribly well educated. And he really doesn't understand. If you said checks and balances, I doubt if he would understand that. But here's the thing. The folks that they brought in as part of their transition team and as their advisors are really too smart for us right now. That is, they're handing over to Trump a whole series of ideas and initiatives to follow up on his promises of these last couple of years. And they're doing it and pointing to things in American history and law, which seem to be the kinds of things that would validate Trump's actions. Now, the first time he was president, that's not the case. Okay. Right. They didn't have that, in spite of the, you know, the attorney general being supposedly so smart and so well educated. The thing is, at least he had some reservations about going all in with Trump. I mean, it was scary at the time, but compared to what we see now, you know, it almost seems like moderate, which it wasn't. Right. But the thing is that they are really, really equipping him, or at least cabinet officers, with a certain kind of constitutional logic or legislative logic. The best example I can give you is they're referring to one of the four Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798.
Right.
To validate the deportations. And, you know, it's the Alien Act. Now, let me say this. The Alien Act has been used in American history. I mean, John Adams' administration. I mean, one of the reasons possibly he didn't get reelected was because of the Alien and Sedition Acts and how they alienated certain leading figures and also working class people of that day. Okay. Who, by the way, were not as anti-French as the administration at that time. I won't go into the whole history there. Okay. It's also the case that FDR made use of deportations. It's undeniable. Okay. But really, when you're in a state of war, one can more readily understand it. And in fact, what are we in a state of war? I don't think we are, though we've seem to have been in war ever since the 1960s, one way or the other.
Congress has to declare war, right? So we're in a state of police, police action, I guess, Harvey.
Yeah. So, you know, and also, you know, one of the other things is you would imagine that after 250 years as of next year, we would have learned something about those kinds of things in the past and the degree to which if we want to be a democracy and if we want to be a democracy guided by the rule of law, there are things that just don't do. Okay. Now, I can also tell you that I've read, you know, some of these stories about, you know, the Syrian or Palestinian fellow at Columbia who's in custody or in jail or in prison, whatever is down in
Louisiana. Yes, he's in detention. Yeah.
And of course, it sounds like if you're going to deport Venezuelan gangs, you know, the majority of Americans, oh yeah, just go ahead and do it, right? But you just don't go ahead and do it in a democracy that's committed to the rule of law. You use the courts as the means by which you prove your case, and then you can proceed if you're found to be correct. I read the one story, I don't know if you reported on that last hour. So, they were en route, where, to El Salvador or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
And they were
off the prisons.
And they were told by the court or the judge, get him back, right?
Yes.
And they were as far as the Yucatan and the flight pattern. I hope everyone has a sense of geography, okay? And they said, oh, what the hell? We'll just let him go on.
Ah, international waters, Harvey. Yeah, we would have come back, but, you know, too late. So sad.
Ah, God. It's also the case. I don't want to get too far afield, but.
All right. Yeah, hey, I'm going to reset here. Yeah, hang on.
Stop me.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey Kaye, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're talking about, you know, the fact that this administration has apparently defied court order. A little bit here from the reporting from Slate. The Trump administration pushed forward into a new phase of the rolling national constitution crisis over the weekend, reportedly defying two different federal court orders imposing limits on its deportation of immigrants without due process. Now, one was this kidney transplant doctor. Despite a judge's Friday order halting her removal, they still sent her off. And a second, as we're talking about, these 250 Venezuelan migrants that Donald Trump has just said, oh, they're gang members. And again, to your point, Harvey, okay, if they are gang members, we're criminals, we don't have criminals, but you don't know that until you go through due process, right? Right. You don't get to dub the criminal. I mean, this is an Animal House with your Delta name, man. You have to be found to be, in my opinion. Now, you know, enacting this law, this very rarely used and when used historically has been bad. Look at the Japanese internment. That's the law we're talking about, right?
Just to be clear, the Japanese internment did not depend on the Alien Act.
Oh, did? Okay.
See, the Japanese Americans were citizens. The problem is that there were those who were not. Those who were not could have been rounded up and deported.
Gotcha.
But the Japanese Americans were citizens in most cases. So it wasn't that. It was an executive order. And that was one of the worst civil liberties, you know, attacks on civil rights and civil liberties in American history. I mean, FDR was, I think I've said this before, FDR yeah. was a great president, but he made some tragic and terrible mistakes.
And that being certainly one of them.
If not,
and, I mean, and, yes. and now it looks like, you know, Harvey, even if you are, if you have a green card or if you're married to a U.S. citizen. So I always thought, like, if you're married to a U.S. citizen, you kind of get the pass. That's always kind of the way I interpreted the whole immigration thing. Apparently, that's not the case, Harvey. I mean,
He had the green card. Right.
In Colombia. And we talked in the last segment about this couple from Wisconsin, made the national news over the weekend. Wisconsin Dells guy, you know, working locally at the local factory, you know, meets the girl of his dreams. She's from Peru. They get married. They go on their honeymoon. Well, she comes back. She's not in the system. She applied for everything. She overstayed her visa. And boom, they took her. And now she's out. And this guy's won. And he voted for Donald Trump. So I think
I don't want to make light of it, but you know, I wish people would pay more attention when they vote.
Yeah. I mean, there are for real consequences, and there could be consequences for these actions. Harvey, you only got a couple of minutes left in this, but one of our texters brought up, and I think it's a good point. What was it? Andrew Jackson told the Supreme Court, basically, you'll let them enforce it. So what happens? What do you think? How does this play out if Donald Trump and the court filings right now, to my understanding, I didn't read them, but from the reporting that I've heard, aren't specifically saying we're not listening to you. What they're saying is, well, you know, we were in international waters. It was a verbal report and the written order didn't come till later and, you know, making all sorts of excuses. Now, apparently Friday they're going to have another hearing yes. on this case. But it's hard for me to wonder, like, where do we go from here? I mean, regardless of how they present it in court, the effect is a non-compliant with the order, Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm stumped. I don't know where you go from here, okay? Especially if Congress is unwilling to chastise the president.
Yeah, and they're able, just unwilling. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's sticking around for the whole hour, Harvey. Look forward to having more conversation with you. Where do we go? To whom do we look for justice if we have an executive branch that ignores court orders? Come back with us.
From the center, WRCE. I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Sticking around on the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Civic Media has some lineup changes coming up starting next week on the 23rd, and at this time, you'll be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. In the meantime, enjoy some of the best conversations Dom has had with Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me this hour. Got Just PS working hard on the phone. We got a couple of callers and some texters. Be patient. We will get to you. As mentioned, Harvey, this administration apparently not following court orders, at least in two specific cases. We talked about this doctor that was deported. Of course, these 250 Venezuelan migrants who they claimed are terrorist gangsters, without, of course, any due process. A little bit from the Slate article, the Justice Department claimed that it could not comply with the order barring the doctor's removal because it arrived too late. But the White House defended its defiance of the order prohibiting deportations of Venezuelans, insisting that the judge had no jurisdiction over the migrants and that Trump holds absolute, unreviewable constitutional authority to expel non-citizens. 855-752-4842. We have some sound of an exchange with Caitlin Collins from CNN and Caroline Levitt regarding a verbal versus written order. Let's play that, and however you want to get your opinion on the other side.
You keep talking about the judge's written order, which hit the docket Saturday night at about 7:26 p.m., but he issued a verbal order before that at about 6:45 and 6:48 p.m. based on the court hearing, a verbal order from the bench. Does the White House feel the need to comply with a verbal order from this judge?
Again, as I said, all of the planes subject to the written order of this judge departed U.S. soil, U.S. territory before the judge's written order.
But what about the verbal order, which, of course, carries the same legal weight as a written order, and said for the planes to turn around if they were...
Well, there's actually questions about whether a verbal order carries the same weight as a legal order, as a written order, and our lawyers are determined to ask and answer those questions in court.
Yeah, I bet they are. Harvey Kay, your thoughts, sir?
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, they've got an answer for everything. And most often it's not an answer.
Right.
And that's what that's what's happening now when people challenge anything that they do. And they keep hoping that time is on their side. You know, the plane's already gone and the guys are down there. And, you know, what are we going to do? Kind of, you know. And then they'll say, you're making us spend all this money to go back and get them something. I mean, you'll come up with all that kind of stuff. They'll manage it in a way so that most Americans will say, oh, well, you know, it's tragic. I don't know what to say.
Got some callers. Hold on. Let's get to them. Brian from Milwaukee. You will be first this segment. Brian, welcome. What do you got for us?
Thanks. Just want to say, you know, with everything going on, people are kind of getting what they voted for, and it's sad but true. The one thing that really upsets me is that I really don't care who you voted for, because I think we're at that point where if you voted for Trump or Harris or independent Democrat, Republican, whatever, it's going to take everyone to stand up and fight this administration, because the people that are elected in office right now aren't going to back down against Trump because they're too afraid to do anything because they think their jobs are on the line, you know. And this weekend was, I believe, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's birthday, or what would have been. Mm. And she would always quote the Constitution. And it started with what three words? We the people. And I think it's at that point where no matter who you voted for, if you see this injustice going on, please get a backbone, grow a pair of, you know what I mean, and stand up against this, because this is going to affect you, me, family, friends, coworkers, in some way, shape, or form. And unless we come together and do something about this, this is only going to get so much worse than it is right now.
Yeah, Brian. Sorry, man. I got to cut you short here. We got some other callers holding. It is certainly disturbing, and certainly folks need to stand up and shout out from the rooftops. Man, that's what I'm talking about. But you also be careful. As mentioned, you know, if you're not a citizen, man, you know, I don't know if now is the time, because these guys are coming after you left or right. And whether or not it's constitutional, whether or not it's legal, they don't seem to give a damn. You know, they'll do it, and then you got to try to, you know, stop them after the fact. And that's not how it should be, in my opinion. Harvey, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so frustrating. And I'm solidly with Brian that people are going to have to figure out how to come together in mass to oppose these things. Now, that's tough to do. I mean, people have, you know, it's just plain tough to do to all of a sudden organize this. And at some point, I do want to talk about today. Let's make sure to talk about Bernie's. And what he's been doing, because I think he has the answer to at least part of the problem as to how to confront the Trump administration.
Bernie on the tour. Let's sneak one more caller in this segment. We'll come back and talk about Bernie Sanders. We'll talk about AOC. We'll talk about what's going on in the Democratic Party. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well, Harvey. Cam from Appleton, you will be next. Welcome, Cam. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Dom. Hey, Harvey. Over the weekend, I saw the deceased veteran Charles C. Rogers. He's an African-American gentleman, and on the Department of Defense's website, it goes into how he ended up getting a Medal of Honor in his life, and they removed his page. But if you go through the normal means of going, like, through the Department of Defense's website to get to the page, and this gets buried in a lot of the articles, it's not the headliner for a lot of them, but if you dig into to find his page, it will pop up saying 404 page not found. But if you compare it to a web archive link showing, like, what it originally had looked like compared to what it is now, the link is appended to say from Medal of Honor Monday Army Major General or Charles Kelvin Rogers to DEI Medal of Honor Monday Army Major General Charles Kelvin Rogers. They added DEI medal to it.
What?
Holy cow.
Come on, yeah. Cam. All right, we'll have to check that out. And they're going, thanks for the call, Cam. Thanks for getting us even more mad. I mean, they're going after everything all the time. They're pushing all the buttons. I saw it described like the velociraptors. from the movie, you know, testing the fence lines, trying to find a point of weakness. Well, you know, if we stand united, it won't be us. Come back with us. Let's talk about where perhaps those points of weaknesses are. Talk about Senator Bernie Sanders, AOC, Chuck Schumer, Democratic Party, and you, and Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Come back with us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Republicans in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District have chosen their new party leaders. Hannah Teston, the former vice chair, will now become the chair of 3rd Congressional District Republicans. Ryan Hipsch, who has run for assembly in the last two elections, was elected as vice chair. Former chair Bill Feehan was selected as the first vice chair of the state's Republican Party. The field for Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair grew by one as candidates emerged to replace Ben Wickler, who announced last week that he is not seeking re-election. William Garcia, who is the current Democratic Party chair for La Crosse County and the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, announced his bid for the top spot on Monday. Garcia joins a field that includes former Democratic Party of Wisconsin Executive Director Devin Remicker. Wisconsin Democrats are seeking to get big money out of campaigns with a statewide referendum. Lawmakers in the State Assembly and State Senate are reintroducing a resolution that would effectively overturn the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision by amending the state constitution. The decision allowed corporations to be treated like people in campaigns, increasing the amount of money they could contribute to their preferred candidates. If the bill makes it through the legislature, it would appear on the November 2026 ballot. A bipartisan bill proposed in the Wisconsin State Legislature would provide farmers who use beneficial grazing practices with grant funding. The State Senate Agriculture Committee held a hearing on the bill earlier this month, and if passed into law, it would establish a pilot program to offer technical support and grants of up to $40,000 for farmers using managed grazing systems. The grazing practice moves cattle through smaller pastures in different areas, improving soil health and water quality, as well as decreasing soil erosion. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, high around 70. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Right now it's 58.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth.
requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Dan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm thrilled to have my friend and co-host Sandy Williams back with me. Sandy and I will engage in a deep conversation about the most significant issues of the week.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
I met my love by the gasworks.
Show. Happy St. Patty's Day to us all. 855.
Hey, folks, thanks for sticking around on this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here are some more of his best discussions with Harvey K.
Got Just PS working hard, spinning the tunes. Thank you for that one, man. Love that song. Heard that one in Ireland, man. It was good stuff. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me till the top of the hour. Don't forget, next segment, tell us something good. We'd love to hear something good. Smile on our face on the Green Beer Day. Harvey, you are a big fan of FDR, and we are big fans of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders out on the oligarchy tour. And he did a couple of stints here in the state of Wisconsin, sold out, packed crowds, people waiting. Obviously, Bernie Sanders continues to resonate with the people, man. What do you think the overall goal is here? What is he trying to accomplish, man? We're going to have another election for a couple of years. Why is Bernie out there, and is he having an impact, in your opinion, sir?
Well, he's clearly having an impact in the sense that people are paying attention. People are turning out. Well, we need to clone Bernie as fast as we can. Right. Okay, we need to get lots of Bernie Sanders, literally out there doing this. I mean, everyone wonders, what are the Democrats doing? And the fact is that they should be embracing Bernie Sanders on this. And Bernie Sanders, wherever he goes, should make it a point. And if they refuse him, let it be known they refuse him. He should be bringing the leading Democratic politicians into the show with him. I know he's got AOC coming with him soon. Yeah. It's imperative that people start to see the Democratic Party as basically the source of Bernie Sanders, both angst and potential. I mean, Bernie is not, he's obviously outraged with the Democratic Party. He's not in the party. He has caucused with the party. Okay. But it's also the case that we don't hear much about what the party might be doing to build on the rage. I mean, people are angry about what's happening. And one of the things that is just so beautiful, there was this article that I sent you guys today from the New Republic by Jason Linkins, in which he actually says Bernie seems to have this answer as to how to respond to the Trump folks. It won't overnight change anything, but it will build a momentum. You build off of the rage that Americans are starting to feel. As he said, look, people are angry. So what do you do? What Bernie's doing, you put a human face on the harms of Trumpism. Okay, so for example, look, think about what's going on. We have the NIH has been under siege. Hell, cancer research is in jeopardy. The affordable housing that's being denied, the foodborne illnesses that we know prevail, not to mention the measles cases that are erupting. Put a human face on all of this. We know that each one of us, by our own experience, when we read about these things, it occurs to us, this is ridiculous. This is absurd. This is tragic. What can we do? Well, Bernie puts the human face on it. We need to find the folks who are being affected by this, and we've got to push them forward into the media to speak of their, you know, of what's happening to them and to their families. And, you know, I think I said to you that, I have said that Thomas Paine knew how to call out the enemy. He knew how to do it. Bernie, I think these were his words in the article, said there's no quicker path to good, cheap conflict because you want to get the Trump administration to do battle with you. He said, President Deals, capital D, President Deals and his ketamine-addled freak sidekick are screwing you over. That's got to be the best line I've heard since the election. My God, even the sound of it just resonates so powerfully. It's like the kind of thing I wish I had thought of that. And man, that's it. So you've got to find these folks, not just us who are all angry. You got to find folks who are literally ready, you know, to punch this administration in the nose, get them into the media, let Americans hear that they're not alone in their rage and their outrage, their frustration and their worry, and get this to become, if you like, the grounds of a movement. The grounds of a movement. Look, deaths have already occurred. Deaths will ensue, okay? I'm not looking forward to that, but if they are going to take place, we have to have them attended to, not only by, you know, medical authorities, but also by the media. And Bernie, I think, is a vehicle for that. And I know AOC is going to be coming on the road with him. In every state, Democrats should go on the road with him. Labor leaders should go on the road with him. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And I do want to say one other thing. So when I was down in Sarasota a couple of weeks ago, and you will notice for your sake, I have my Siesta Key hat on here.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. I was there because of a veterans group that I've been working with for almost 20 years. Okay. And what is the case is I've talked to them and they're revved up. They want to make, they don't want to put up with this any longer. They were first organized against the second Bush administration. Not the second, is George W. Bush, not George H.W. Bush.
Right. The son.
Yeah. And I said to them, look, you guys may well be, you know, in some ways marginal in veterans affairs because you're a progressive group. But this is the moment where other veterans groups, from the American Legion to Veterans of Foreign Wars, may well join you because the Veterans Administration is also under siege.
Right.
I mean, what more can we ask for than a unification of groups that may not have been unified before coming out against Trump administration initiatives to hurt them? That's the word, to hurt them.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Those are the words of Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. But it can't just be Harvey. Harvey. It can't just be Bernie.
No, it can't just be Bernie.
You know, and even AOC. And, you know, we look at this continuing resolution that went through last week. And everyone, all the Dems in the House, save one, voted against it. And then it gets over to the Senate and, you know, Chuck Schumer, the leadership over there, they all vote for it. They all vote for it for their reasoning. And I don't agree with that. And I know AOC, hell, even Pelosi, I think they're going through the roof. People,
even Pelosi,
mad.
Right.
Yeah,
even
why are you acknowledge, why are you going along with this? I mean, and I understand that because they're essentially shutting the government down now anyway. And I don't think, you know, if you look at the polling, that the Democrats would have been blamed. Now, certainly there's got to be a longer term solution than a 30-day, you know, delay. We'll vote on it then. Maybe they could have gotten something through. But where is the fight in the Senate, man? I mean, if you lose all the leverage, you have no leverage now. This thing goes out to what, September? If you're going to take some heat for pushing back and fighting now, you're never going to be any further away from the midterms than you are today. You're a little bit closer tomorrow. You're a little bit closer to day after that. I don't get it. And I think there is a disconnect to some degree in the Democratic Party. I mean, you know, Schumer's not out there with Bernie, but AOC is going to be. What does that tell you, Harvey?
It tells you that everything we've seen for some years now is true. And what do I mean by that? Well, go back to the very beginning of the Biden administration when Bernie was doing his very best to try to get the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour. And yet 8 Democratic senators said no. 8 Democratic senators. I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if it was Manchin and Sinema who tried that stunt, but it was 8 of them. And Biden didn't do anything to pull them into line. I mean, if it was just Manchin and Sinema, he could have said, okay, Sinema, I got a job for you. You're going to be the next ambassador to France. You like wine, I bet. Go over, okay? Right. Manchin, you know, Manchin knew he might have trouble because his wife was right on the edge there of losing whatever it was that she was doing. Now, the fact is that they just aren't willing to do that. Look, we've seen the first time Jeffries has actually spoken by not speaking. Yeah. When they asked him questions about Schumer and what happened, and no he said, comment. Next question, next couple question. Of times. Yeah. I mean, maybe he can be pushed another, you know, one more step, but that wouldn't unseat Schumer. Here's the thing. Here's the other thing. Bernie should have joined the Democratic Party after the 2016 election. If he was in the Democratic Party, then maybe now he could have organized an overthrow of Schumer. Okay. An overthrow. I mean, I can't explain Schumer's actions. He rationalizes it because, well, you know, it'll shut down the government. We don't want to be responsible for that. But as you said, they're doing it bit by bit anyhow. Okay. Well, you know.
And you can blame the Republicans because, listen, man, they jammed this thing through. And those senators, as one of our texters points out, it wasn't, you know, that all the Dems didn't vote for it, but only a handful shamefully did, as Uncle Tony mentions. Well, yeah, Uncle Tony, but it was the entire leadership. It was Schumer. It was the whip. It was the leadership and a few others. They got it through. And what did they get for it? You know, the Republicans knew they were going to have to get some Democratic votes, and their effort to reach out across the aisle for Democratic votes was to stick it to them. And the Democratic leadership of the Senate said, thank you. Yes, we want nothing for this, and we'll go along with it and basically justify your, you know, step-by-step dismantling of the institutions of our government. They went along with it. I mean, I don't if Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and Elon Musk and the way they're going about this process is a threat to democracy. Well, and the Republicans are saying, hey, there's going to be some, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain. I mean, they're giving you all the ingredients you need to lay it in their lap. They didn't even reach across the aisle. They didn't offer a damn thing. And Schumer just took it, Harvey.
I know. Absolutely. He couldn't even figure out how, as you said, you know, to go across the aisle, to try to figure out a deal.
Something. Maybe,
the deal could have been, hey, how about if you start holding Trump accountable? How about if you demand that Trump attend to the Supreme Court, not to the Supreme Court, to the judges who are saying to him, you can't do that. Stop. I mean, what's going on? And I thought to myself, well, what could be going on? Are the hedge fund folks in New York who, and by the way, he's the hero of the hedge fund folks. He's always defended them, just as Biden was the hero of the credit card companies. Each one of these leading Democrats over years became the champions of some corporate cohort. Well, did the hedge fund folks call him and say, hey, you don't want to shut down the government. You're going to be jeopardizing our economic wherewithal. Who knows? Okay. Right. But the fact is that I've been fed up with the Democratic Party for years. I vote Democratic. People tell me, well, why do you waste your vote? I said, because there's no other way to vote.
There's no other way.
Individually, a vote is one vote. Collectively, people have to organize. Look, I'm frustrated as hell that labor hasn't spoken up much more effectively to demand that working people be protected. Working people, not just on the job, but working people in terms of their rights as citizens.
Right. Consumer protection, for example. You know what I mean?
There's all sorts exactly.
Of, I mean, the we the people is getting is being challenged by, you know, they the billionaires, man. And for these Democrats not to step up, not to recognize that, not to demand something for their vote. I just don't know what the point is. I mean, what's the end game for Chuck Schumer? Do you think AOC should primary him? They're both in New York. You know, she's in Congress. He's a senator. I mean,
okay, so
time, man. Let's get this.
It's 2028 is when 2028 is when his seat is up. Okay, I would like to see her starting to build a more statewide presence. Look, she's popular. She's a celebrity in many ways, but don't forget Gillibrand voted with Schumer, I believe, and she's the senator. New York always seems to have one senator from the city and one senator from upstate, and yet, we don't want to waste her in a primary. If it's guaranteed that she can't win, it's possible she can. Okay. And I'd love to see that. I think she should, but I'm not telling her to announce today. I think people have to organize and start calculating the numbers. Well, how much money would it take to match the millions and millions that'll go into his campaign?
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I'm mad about that vote, man. I mean, I can't believe there was nothing gained. Literally zero. It's basically an endorsement of what Trump is doing.
Ultimately, that is, yes.
I don't know how else to look at it, how else to spin it. But you know what? We got one more segment. So come back. Tell us something good. Even if you're calling, you got a comment, you got a question, you want to hang out with us, we'll get two of those questions and comments. But you got to start out by telling us something good. Back with Harvey K., Jess P.S. on the board.
Dirty old town, dirty old town.
From the center, WRCE.
Warm up your taste buds at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. They've got delicious homemade soups now available, sold by the bowl or pint. Craving something comforting? Try their chicken noodle or hearty chili, perfect for chilly days. And don't forget the cheesy broccoli and bacon cheeseburger soups for a unique twist. Pair your soup with tasty snacks like mac and cheese bites or pretzel bites with cheese. Utter Brothers is your go-to for delicious homemade goodness. Call them at 608-391-3120 and come on down to Boscobel today.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a two-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Salvia Show 855.
Thanks for sticking around for the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here's more with Harvey K.
Tell us something good segment of the program. I got to tell you, I love the fact that there's new Billy Idol out there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Talk about, I mean, that guy is ageless, man. I mean, he's been around a long time. I sent you a video over the weekend of Rebel Yell back in like 84. And he's still out there making music. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you sent me that one on Friday as well, and it's been stuck in my head all weekend.
I'm still dancing.
Still dancing.
And he did this dancing with my, I forget the original song now. Anyway, Billy Idol, man, coming out with some new music. Appreciate that. Tell us something good. Harvey K., I mean, would you like to do the honors? Do you have anything you'd like to share on this fine day? Tell us something good, Harvey.
Well, actually, I don't have anything huge. Okay, but I have to tell you,
that's okay.
This is going to sound utterly trivial, but I got my car washed today and it looked great. And I thought, wow, you know, what a difference a car wash. I drive a Mustang, a white Mustang, and it just looked great. So that made me feel good in the midst of the mess around us.
It reminds me of, you know, being down in Florida. All the cars are clean, man. The roads are, there's no salt. Everything's nice. It's shiny. Occasionally, maybe you get some sand, but that's the worst thing, right? Man. Yeah. No, I get you, man. A clean car. I need to wash mine.
We had five inches
of snow in Milwaukee yesterday.
You did?
Yesterday. 5 inches of snow?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's how much?
Yes. I know. I couldn't believe it. We're supposed to get like an inch. So yeah, cars a little salty.
We got that inch. We gave you the other five.
Yeah. How about you, Jess? Anything good you want to share?
Yeah. On Saturday, I got together with my husband's dad and stepmom and a cousin who my husband had never met before, and so I had never met before. And we just had a great time. We had dinner, we played some games, and it was just wonderful to connect with this woman who I had never met, he had never met, but, you know, they shared that bond, and we had a great time. We played some apples to apples, played some telestrations. It was a good time. It was fun, and it was just a reminder that, you know, get yourself out there, connect with people, even if you haven't talked to them in a long time, even if you have a bond, but you've never actually really connected, give it a shot.
There's always time.
Always time.
Well, we got now time. Use the time while you got it. You never know when you're not going to have any time.
What about you, Dom?
Oh, man. Of course, today, St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patty's Day. But much more importantly, my baby girl turns 20 years old today. Can you believe it? I know. Wow. How is that even possible? I'm only 29 myself. Uh-huh. It's amazing how that happens. And so we had family over. Like 9 of them came over to the place and cooked some food, and Izzy picked up some ham and rolls from Glorioso's. Man, that place is awesome. Yeah. I know, so good. And same thing, man. You know, family, and hung around the dinner table and just hung out for a few hours. It was great. We laughing our asses off, and my mother-in-law is swearing, so we all started swearing.
Good. I mean, it was good.
Yeah, it was a great celebration. And so today is her birthday, 20 years old. Wow. Happy birthday, Izzy. Can't believe it. My son turns 23 next month. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of birthdays in the air these days. Also, I got to say, I had some hum and tush.
Hum and tush.
Oh my God, girl, that you made them. This was good. So what is this?
A hum and tush, they're cookies that we make for the Jewish holiday of Purim. They are a soft triangular cookie with jam in the middle. Traditionally, some people also do like chocolate or something. And they're supposed to represent the villain of the story of Purim, either his hat, his ears, or his pockets. We're not totally sure, but apparently he had some triangles going on, and so
some villain
he was real
triangles.
Bad, so we eat his hat or ears or pockets in a delicious fashion.
They're so good. I don't remember having one of those before, at least. So thank you for that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, my wife makes that every year and sends boxes to our, speaking of daughters, to our daughters and their families in St. Louis and New York, and our nephew and niece in New York. I mean, she really gets into it.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, I'll take some of your wife's as well, Harvey. So, I mean, if you have the mail.
Which is your favorite, Jess? Which is your favorite?
Cherry.
Oh, see, I'm not a cherry fan. I love prune or poppy seed.
What fruit do we have on these?
Those were blackberry.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, that sounds good. Wait, I take those sound great.
All right. Al from Jackson, you will have the final word today, sir. Welcome. Tell us something good, Al.
Yeah, I tell you what, in my news feed, there's one source of positivity right now, and that is in the world of astronomy with the launch of the James Webb Telescope.
Yeah.
All the data it's getting. Finding new stars, new planets, new galaxies, new black holes, you name it. The amount of data we're getting is amazing, and our ability to process it, use that data, turn it into beautiful pictures, just amazing. And it's bringing up other things in the Hubble telescope now. Doing amazing things as well.
Al, thank you so much. Talking with my daughter, she's also a space nerd. Now, we watch the spacey stuff sometimes and stuff. My wife just falls asleep because it's so peaceful and serene, and then the announcer's voice, you know, it's calm.
Uh-huh.
The space stuff is super cool. And you know, some people still believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute.
What are you going to do?
And flat. Let's get it straight. And flat.
Yeah, very important. Don't forget that.
Don't Don't forget that. Thank you, Harvey K. Don't forget, check us out on Mondays when Harvey K. comes around. He's the professor emeritus of democracy. We still have that, right, Harvey? At the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Right.
We'll keep fighting for it. Appreciate you, my friend. Appreciate you, Jess P.S., working hard on the board. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everyone. Go out. Be safe out there. Have a good time. Maybe some green beer if you need.
Stick around for one more hour of the best of Harvey K on the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for if they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water?
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Tallahassee, a deadly shooting at the Florida State University campus today. FSU Police Chief Jason Trumbauer says the gunman opened fire near the student union and confirmed those who died.
Two victims of deceased are deceased, and five individuals have been transported to a local hospital with gunshot wounds.
The suspect in custody, police say he's an FSU student. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
His name is Phoenix Eichner, 20 years old, the son of an active duty Leon County Sheriff's deputy, an 18-year veteran. And we did a quick look up of her biography, and it seems that, at least for a time, she served as a school resource officer, someone who went to campuses in order to protect them from this kind of violence.
Police say they'll continue to investigate how the suspect gained access to a service weapon that was used. This is ABC News.